tell me the story. How did you meet?
That's a very good. So you have in front of you the dream team. Okay.
Okay.
First of all, I know Kathleen and her husband. They came to Japan. I was giving a conference on the construction world, Japanese construction environment, and they were with the whole delegation, European delegation, to try to get into the Japanese market with their products. You know, they have a company called Panels, Ivanka Panels. And we met, and I was interested in what they were doing because they have a very special technology. And anyway, that was how we met. So we are working already with Ivanka's on the biotechnology project. And then she was talking about this project, and she told me that there is one team with whom we should team up, and that will be WIRAN. So we got in touch with Johanna, and I took the plane in September, flew here. I have some projects in Paris, so I just made a deal, and I came to Budapest. Stayed in the Lanchit 19 boutique hotel, which is very near to this place, and I spent hours checking the site. We had meetings at Johanna's office all together. And that was it. That was our first meeting, you know.
Yeah, personal. But we had a very frequent contact on internet. We talked with Albert's colleagues like every day through Skype, and so the whole teamwork went really well. We could decide and on the concept at a very early stage. We started working. We shared all the works, and it just went really well.
And what was the basic concept? How would you describe it?
The view, because it's in the place of that place. It's the view. It's a beautiful place, and the light. It's southbound, southeastern southbound. And we came with this Evantai shape of room layout. But the rooms were long, They are long rooms because of the shape of the land. So we tried to find out how we could bring light to the backside of the room. And we wanted to make a kind of very cozy apartment-like building. So we brought in light inside with these light wells. And with the technology, there is no vis-a-vis, that means you don't see your neighbors down or next. And there's a switch system where you can just shut off the transparency, that you have only opaque, but still light goes in. You have these tubes also go all the way down to the ground floor, around which we have the restaurant, the reception, and the bar area. So there is a relation between all the spaces of the different layers of the building. One more thing is that there are two courtyards. We tried also to keep the urban, historical urban grid intact. We didn't want to go high up. There's the regulations. We didn't go higher than 80 centimeters of the certain next building, adjacent buildings. There is a regulation of around plus minus 15% courtyard space. We kept, and we even integrated to the next courtyards, And there is also cantilever regulation also in Budapest of not more than 1.5 meters after 3 or 4 meters. Then we respected that, and everything we did was within that envelope.
Returning back to the personal part of the story, when I was coming to you, I was thinking about one question, that you are in a different generation.
We are.
And if I look at a person who is, let's say, 20 or 30 years older than the newcomers in the profession, then you have different burning questions. In architecture, you have a different target, what you want to reach. You work together, you created this competition together, but how does it work? It would have been a professor-student-like relationship because of the age, but it doesn't look like that.
It is not. It is not. And we have also a coordinator who is Katalin, and I really like that the work she is doing to ease the communication between everybody in the project. She's the one who put everybody together.
To make this team formed. But now, where we are now, it works out very well. And, of course, Albert is the leader architect of this project, but they can work together with Johanna's team, Duirány, like equals.
Is there equality in architecture design? So in film, for instance, the director should decide at the end. If you are in charge of this leadership, you have to take almost all responsibilities.
It's the first time I'm working with another architectural office together. I always did my own projects before alone. I don't know for you guys, but...
We are known for working with a lot of people. I think our whole team is philosophy is based on teamwork and based on openness and based on cooperation and networking and but you probably know a little bit about
if they are
that.
Able to make a teamwork like that, then they are able to make a nice cooperation and to understand the investors as well.
Yes. And
that's the key.
I didn't want to come here, you know, like the prima donna architect, you made it in Japan and all that stuff. I didn't want to do that, you know. I wanted to have a really equal stand. Listen, the most important thing, in my opinion, is listening. And I came here and I listened to what Katalin and Johanna had to tell me. And I was also overwhelmed because they also listened. I had things to say. And we listened to each other. And that's how we came to this project at this point. And there is a utmost respect on three of us on this project. And it's based on respect. Respect, and that's it. And listening. And trying to put things together calmly, you know, with serenity. And for the thinking also of the client who has to make money, this project. It's just not for our expression. Artistic expression or whatever, but bearing in mind that we have a client, we have to respect also the client. These guys, they have to make a running hotel. People will want to go, want to stay, want to return, you know. And also, that was one thing. Another client is the city of Budapest in Hungary, which is looking towards this spot very, very strongly, and we want to give to Budapest something Budapest deserves. So that's it. These are the things.
I want to say something to that on this age difference and this in Hungary. You must know all that. Probably it's like that all over the world. But in Hungary, it's very common. That when young architects come out of school, they choose sort of a maestro. they choose an office, and they choose a sort of an architectural leader, and they follow his advice usually. And we made a decision after we finished university that we want to continue our. Our teamwork with Irány, and we didn't choose an architectural leader, even amongst us. Now it's coming Johanna and her team, but it's not my team. It's really, we are very equal, and with all the members of Irány, and there is no architectural leader, but in a way, when you are that age, and you are definitely inexperienced, you're longing to have a partner who you can learn from. And I think that was a very important moment when we met Albert, because he didn't come here really as I'm the leader and the boss and I'm going to tell you what architecture is about, although he could have done that, and he did not.
She's good.
But it's true.
She's good.
but it's true. And somehow, in another way, of course, we respect his experience, and there is a responsibility in being, you know, a project leader, because there were some debates, or for example, on the facade, and it's important for us to decide that, yes, the last word is yours in the end, in many of the debates, but there is, you know, space and time for even arguments and real architectural discussions, and somehow this is how this cooperation works. I think there is respect, and there is a kind of project leadership, but there is the work, the real design work, that's very, very, very equal and very, very much based on cooperation and discussions.
So the next question is that how the project is standing right now?
Right now we are among the four finalists.
Do you know who are the four?
I think we shouldn't tell about them right now. We just have to say that we are among that four.
And what is your strategy to win the competition?
It is some kind of lobbying. We keep going, and I think you will see that there's a big progression. We had a very nice continuous talk with the investors, and we paid attention what they really want, and the final project, the final concept we have now is a real personal addition.
But Katalin and Johanna organized meetings with the owners, so we went to listen to them. What was their remarks on our first project? What they were expecting really from the next stages? So we went to listen to them, and Katalin was on the phone. Johanna was on the phone with them. They had meetings. We made the cost estimate here with the Hungarian Budapest-based quantity surveyor, building economist, you know, that Johanna brought in the team. The cost we gave finally to the Sándor Cser and László Árpád fitted very well their expectation. So we are within the cost, but we think that the cost we give, it's a five-star hotel cost. Of course, the cost we gave is plus minus 20% because it's an esquisse stage. I also do a lot of hotel projects like five-star stuff, you know, so we know about how much costs a five-star hotel. And today, on Earth, you know, it doesn't matter if you build a five-star hotel in Fiji or in Paris, or in Budapest, you know, there is a minimum level of cost.
I've been at the Rotterdam Architecture Biennale, and there was a subject about corporate architecture, that architects are guilty to serve all corporate architecture needs. So what is your point on this? How far are you going to serve the business needs, and how far you try to stay on the track of architecture as a cultural issue?
There is a budget issue always. The client has a budget, the architect has to give a project according to the client's budget. And it's, initially, that's how it works. So, of course, the company who owns the land and who wants to build it is a corporate company. It's the first time they are doing such a scale project. My opinion. Well, that's what I heard, and my opinion also is. So, we think that we answered properly to the program which was demanded by the client in the competition, by the jury, and I don't see it with the jury, the national jury. Okay, I didn't see us answering to a corporate demand, but more of a, you were saying, cultural, historical integration, but also, of course, a client who has to make a certain amount of money with this building. So, but there is not, I don't see personally a corporate situation so much, of course.
Not yet.
There was no contradiction in between. There is this project having an existence of its own right, and there are the demands of the investors, and I never felt that there's a very heavy, very big contradiction.
One of the questions we were really asking, it was the question of the operator, because everything depends on the operation of the hotel. Who will be the operator?
This will be maybe a more general answer to your question, and maybe the most naive one, because I believe, and we believe very much in our concept, and I think our concept has a very strong notion, and there's a little sketch on this you asked previously, how can we describe the concept? And I believe that this whole hotel has a flow, and it's sort of like a flow between Budapest, what you can describe as the panorama about history, about the life of Budapest, and there is a notion of Eden, which represents the hotel itself, and our whole facade sort of is a flowing connection and a flowing wave between that and connecting it and giving the notion of Eden to the city and giving the notion of the city to the hotel and that represents the whole section of the facade, how this glass facade turns in to become the mezzanine ceiling and going around over the roof and going inside the garden and sort of going inside the courtyard and creating an inner facade for the courtyard.
With the esplanade, yeah.
Yeah, and the garden is flowing into the basement, the ground floor, and the mezzanine as well. So it has a sort of this flow and this connection is such a strong notion, and it's such a strong concept that even if there are corporate demands, in the future, I think if we stick to the concept and which we believe in, it can have a lot of other solutions and a lot of, not the material that really, really counts, but it's always the concept. And if you have to change a little bit and adjust to the budget or adjust to the corporate needs, if you are always sticking to your original concept that you believe in and you're adjusting to it, then it will not kill the plan.
But it can be even better.
Do you have any idea why they couldn't choose at the first time? So what was the reason what they made this second step and they still hesitate in between four different concepts?
I can have an answer for that. The project time for the competition time was too short because it's a very, very compact land. The size of the land is very special, very difficult. And I think all the teams needed at least one more month to be able to understand the land, understand the program, because the program was very heavy, with something like 7,000 square meters to put inside such a small land, with many constraints, volumetrical and regulation constraints. And I think personally, if everybody had one more month, then maybe you would have definitely very clean cut.
Was the reason of this urge?
Going quickly.
Yeah.
It's everywhere in the world the same, they want to make a sketch, they choose one architect and then they work on it.
And there's also another simple answer, that one of the two partners were in abroad during the decision making of the jury. One of the partners just missed that, and he was quite surprised. He couldn't be there at the most important moments. He was not there.
Mm-hmm.
And you must also know that this is a very special site, and making a decision there is not only a financial decision, but it's also you have to adjust to the needs of the not only the city authorities, but also the monument preservation authorities, also the district. So I believe the client has to do a lot of negotiations with these authorities, and of course what the city of Budapest, the people themselves, will think. So it's a very long process to sort of create the background to legitimize a building there.
You mentioned something that you're working now on your own risk. What does it mean? On your own risk. What does it mean?
No, it's because we want to finish the work we started. And as we were in the end of November, we were among the four teams, you know, selected teams, and we just wanted to finish what we started. And then, of course, the client is not paying us for the moment for the work we do, definitely. But we are very interested to work for that client. We have a very good relation with them. We built up a good relation with them. And then, and I think we are now at a point where they have the perfect project for that site. Mm. And this is the dream team with the perfect project on that site.
So let's close this subject.
Yeah, okay.
And let's talk about Japanese architecture.
I always built in Japan as a French architect. But being a French architect meant... This being a French architect means for me, it's the French way of approaching a project. Checking the environment, checking the historical environment, and adapting the project.
Is that a French way?
I studied in France, so I'm just saying.
Okay.
It's not, I don't say that it's only a French way, but it's more European way. But I'm not, you know, French, we're all in the EU. So, checking the historical environment, checking the social, urban structures around that, the land where we are building, checking social political situations, like energetical situations, sustainability elements, all the newest elements that can come to be part of any project. That's kind of approach we have in Europe in general. In France, of course, as a French architect, so you know, I have the European identity and French identity. You know, that's how I do. What I took from Japan, being in Japan for 24 years, you know, I've been coming and going between Paris and Tokyo for 24 years. What I really took is the attention to detail, because that's one thing I can today say I learned in Japan. You know, I finished my project completely. I checked the details. We make all the one-on-one scale sketches on the construction site. We make very thick detailed drawings and tendering documentation. And I have extraordinary
team. You do it yourself, with your team?
With my team.
Yeah.
We do it with our team. And I've got two or three Japanese architects on my team with whom we created new detailed styles, you know, for all our buildings, you know. And which give, you know, a certain search of perfection to the building. So I never say we will always arrive to perfection or whatever, but search, and we get nearer. So it's a kind of putting together the European way of approach, global approach of a project, and the Japanese way of going to the detail. You know, I have those two in me today. I mean, I can say that.
I see. And do you say with this that in Europe we don't take enough attention on details? Is that what you want to suggest?
Okay. This comes also on the way the general contractors work in Japan and the general contractors work in France. I mean, in Europe, I worked in Sweden and Holland, in France, as the main countries where I built already. And I must say that it's a pleasure to work in a Japanese construction site. You know, it's incredible, very well organized. They are spending hours after work time in the evening doing the execution drawings. We spend until 5-6 o'clock in the morning checking every detail, discussing with the subcontractors of the general contractor, checking the sash details, concrete alignment details, everything. We do it together with them, and it's a very good cooperation.
It sounds very demanding. I mean,
yes,
working until 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, but you need that much time. Somewhere I read this. It was a project in France, I think, or something like that. In order to be in time, on time, it's a very recent story, they made 3 times 8-hour shifts in order to be in time. You go on the homepage of Norman Foster, okay? It's written, our office is open 365 days a week, 24/24. It's the first thing they write. Architecture is a very demanding business. I love architecture for that because you are never finished, you know? Never. It's not 9-to-5 shift or 9-to-6 shift job, you know. Nobody can do
Why
that.
Why did you move to Japan? It was just...
I was invited. Was invited by Kikutake Kiyonori, you know, one of the top architects with Kenzo Tange. And I worked with one of the guys who worked with him, Senda Mitsuru. We worked for 3-4 years together. I worked in his office. He invited me to Japan. They are different. They are definitely different from us. You know, I agree with that. Yeah, some people take it. Some people can't take it. You know, sometimes I cannot take it either. And that's why I create this bridge between Tokyo and Paris. I cannot stay there all the time. It's true. We are Europeans. We've got another mentality, another way of seeing things. You know. There are good things and bad things in every country. And my appreciation of the cooperation with general contractors is extraordinary, you know, the relation we have. But now the other side of the medallion, you know, is in Japan, and nobody says that to you, the general contractors have the right to have an architectural office. It's forbidden in France. I don't know if it's forbidden in Hungary or not. They may have their execution drawing office, but not architectural office. No. So anyway, that's the situation in Japan. And that's why the general contractors in Japan, they have a PR and marketing division. And they go and get architectural projects and design build bases. That means they design it, they build the projects, and they subcontract to other architects just for making a sketch. You know, most of the architects work like that in Japan. That means there is no soul, there is no scenario, there is not really much. They just build and rebuild. So they take, like this, 85 to 90% of architectural projects are signed by contractors. So the remaining 10 to 15% are shared among 3,000 architectural offices. And
it's
they
a
cannot,
high competition.
Very high competition. And if they cannot, most of the architectural offices cannot, then they are subcontractors of the architectural offices of the general contractors to make drawings, you know, like from morning to evening. It's a world which is controlled by general contractors. So there you have this thing. The general contractors are very good quality execution, but they are mafia. They have the mafia. They hold 85-90% of the architectural projects. It is a completely different in France. In France, it's forbidden, first of all. Second, it is the top country in the world doing competitions, national level competitions, and everybody is invited to these competitions. We've just filed
in France.
National there are thousands of national competitions every year, and all EU countries can participate also to that. In Japan, you don't. There are very few national competitions, and when they make competitions, they ask general contractors to make a package together with the architects. You know.
You've been talking about the landscape of Japanese architecture, and especially the market landscape. How do you survive? What is your strategy?
There is a big competition in the Japanese market, especially it's more difficult for a foreign architect to get projects than for a Japanese architect, of course.
Yeah.
So we are not considered as equals, as a matter of fact. Nevertheless, I have clients who really want to work with me. But most of the things, projects we realized are mainly competitions we won. So we are invited to private competitions. Like Clark is a private competition.
Yes, yes.
Fact, huh? And that type of competition.
But it was an open competition.
It was an open, private stuff.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, but the prize was given company.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so. But of course it's difficult. It's not easy. One thing I learned is that most of the famous Japanese architects who have in their office marketing and PR division, they work a lot like that. They market themselves very much. So finally, I don't. That's the point, you know. We had a big general meeting in the office. And finally, we decided to hire a PR and marketing team, you know, to work for me.
For communication. Yeah.
For Albert Habut Architecture, you know. But most of them are equipped with that kind of organization. You know, Japanese are very good in marketing, and I really respect that. You know, it's something also I learned in Japan, marketing. But they do it very well. They do it very, very well.
But you just told us that there is a Japanese office that starts their work, the first thing they create is the marketing division, sort of like...
Something like that, yeah. And I learned a lot of stuff there, you know, because it's a Japanese interpretation of the marketing notion which comes from the U.S. from the 1970s, 60s, 70s. But they have a very good interpretation, very interesting, very personalized and national. A sophisticated interpretation of the marketing, the notion of marketing, which is very interesting. So we finally took the decision that we're going to do it.
The competition is high. Everybody hires marketing specialists. Everybody is transmitting messages. Then the air is full of messages. So it's overloaded. And of course, everybody has only 24 hours. And everybody is competing on the market of attention. If you want to reach someone, then many other competitors try to reach the same person or the same target or the same people. And then who is the winner?
No.
What do you see on especially an architecture level in the marketing of architecture products? What are the winning strategies in marketing?
All the elements have to be perfect. You have to be the best architectural office, the loudest architectural office, the most active in the marketing, you know, that's... And if you have all the parameters, then you are in the top, but you have to be good in every aspect, you know. If you are a very good architect and you don't make marketing while you are a little back of another good architectural office who has got that kind of activities, you know, so that's it.
And how can you manage that with just about 15 people as a middle-sized company?
So we're going to hire maybe five more people to make the money.
And
I'm asking
such a question because I just, you know, it looks like a very difficult situation. Am I right?
It is a difficulty. Well, look, like you just imported here the Pechakucha stuff, you know, from the Plain Ditton.
Pechakucha.
That was Attila Buidosho who studied, who spent one year in Osaka. Studying there.
And he brought in, yes.
He brought it to Budapest.
Budapest. So Pechakucha knife, it's a marketing tool for Klein Dittem architecture. Klein Dittem, these are a couple, a German and English couple. They were striving to get projects done. Finally, they organized every Friday evening parties in their office at their cost.
And super deluxe.
I have the feeling, somehow I just sense in the world that this very active, sometimes aggressive marketing demands so much energy from a creative person that the content is less and less.
You lose content.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Marketing is occupying your time.
I had to go. I mean, I created my office in 1990. Since from 1990 to these last years, you know, like 3-4 years, you know, I've been doing the company management, the staff management, the financial management, the marketing, the PR, everything myself. You know, I had one or two collaborators who were mainly, but I was very much active on that. And I realize now that I really want to give 100% of my creativity to architecture, and I don't want to spend time with that. That's why we had a big meeting in the office, and I told everybody very clearly that it's finished.
For example, with the Hotel Clark project, I'm some kind of outsider who is involved, and I really don't want Albert or Wieland to lose content. I would like them to do their best with architectural planning, and not to lose content with the lobby and the marketing activities.
So you had the marketing stuff in this project.
And the project manager.
Project management and coordinator. Mm-hmm.
And it's
very important.
And it's
she's,
not
she's
usual.
She's in contact with the client. She's making all the
arrangements.
Creative arrangements. You know.
And she's also responsible of sort of the strategy. And, you know, it's...
It's a strategical planning tool.
Yeah, and it's not usual in Hungary to have that, and I can say for Wirány, our company, we also decided when we started basically working is that we are going to have the best person for every aspect of architecture, and we are best in design, and that's it. And if we are not good in, let's say, socializing, or if we are not good in the business part, then we have to find people for that. And it is also a corporation, you know, as an architectural office, and it has to work with the same, according to the same business rules as our clients. Because if we don't understand the business strategies and the corporate strategies of the client, we cannot work together, and we cannot understand them, and we have to function the same way. And I think it's that notion is still not working in Hungarian architecture offices.
We have a different tradition. That's
we
all.
Think yeah. we have an added value with that.
I don't want to go, you know, against Hungarian architecture offices. And it's just that I have the feeling, what I just told, that it has to work like that. Otherwise, we cannot develop along with the market, and we cannot respond to the demands of the market. And it's essential, I think, today, also in Hungary.
It's a profession which is becoming more and more complicated, more and more compartmented, you know. So we have to organize ourselves. So, but I must say, you know, I want to take what Ioana was saying on Catalin's involvement in this project. Personally, it demands a lot of communication gifts, skills, you know. It's very difficult to have perfect communication skills, you know. But Catalina has incredible communication skills. She has she knows a lot of people, and she has a very good contact with people. She knows how to get for the team the necessary information for us to go on at the next stage, you know. And I personally don't see that always. It must be the same for you. And she has this gift, you know, very few people have. You know, and really, without Catalina, I don't think we would arrive to where we are today, with the client, with the jury, some of the jury members. She organized incredible lobbying and communication pattern for us.
There is an option that you win this competition and then you work together on Clark project. And what would happen if not? Will you continue the cooperation?
It was originally a joint venture that created around Clark first time, but we just realized that we just created a very good team, so we are very looking forward to work together in other projects as well. And
yes,
we will continue.
I want to work with them. Definitely. Personally, I want. I mean, you guys must be thinking the same thing. I'm opening a new office in Saigon. I'm opening a new office in Saigon because Vietnam is an incredible, dynamic, creative, sensible, sophisticated place. And I just came for many trips to Saigon and Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi. And we're opening an office. We are buying off 30 people, strong architectural office. I'm hiring now also from France. From Hungary also, we are getting some stuff to our Tokyo office. My Tokyo office is full of different nationalities. Mm-hmm. We've got Romanians, we've got Canadians, we've got
German,
I mean, all kind of nationalities. And now we are hiring one person that Johanna introduced us. She's very good.
And we have an interview.
And we are having an interview tomorrow. And for me, Hungary is opening up my horizons in a certain way. It's a fantastic thing happening, you know, for me. And we will definitely work on, because they are very good landscape designers, architects too, urban planning and landscaping on top of architecture. And we are willing really to work together in a close coordination on some projects we are going to do in Vietnam. I'm not going to let this thing go, you know, so
okay.
I'm very excited about
optimistic
and excited about this.